I do want to say that based on what Jason said about Joyce and her scan for cancer, you folks have prayed, and we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts. It's been 3 years since I think she had the last of chemo, had two rounds of it, and to get that kind of results, we're very grateful, but we know it's because of your prayers in part, and we thank you for that today. This morning we find ourselves on the Lord's Day. You know, John, and as he wrote Revelation, said that I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And I hope that you have come today to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. This morning we take another of the I Am statements and talk about it together in these few minutes. And I just want to use a story that kind of gets things going that is part of my life. And I'm sure it's about a time when the lights went on spiritually in my life. Now, I've had several of those, and I think probably you have too. You know, some people call it an epiphany moment. Some people call it, I think Oprah liked to call it an aha moment. But you know what it is. Oh, I finally get it. Maybe when you went through school and finally the math that you were doing finally made sense to you. I don't know. This was my first semester in college and now, I wasn't your typical freshman because I had been around the block for about 4 years doing various things, but it would have been the second semester of my first year at Ozark Christian College. I was in Life of Christ class, and the professor was Paul Butler. And I remember as he began to unpack what we were going to do in Life of Christ class, he quoted two verses from the book of John as we started that session that day. And it's John 20, 30 and 31, which simply says, "And many other signs did Jesus do in the presence of the disciples. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, I don't know what exactly was going on in my life at that time, except I had moved to Joplin. I had enrolled. I was an older student, and I was sitting in that class that day. But it just seemed like, oh, wow, I'm beginning to see something in a greater depth than I'd ever seen before. And again, that word believe is really special in John's gospel. It's a key word. And Paul Butler said, this is the purpose that John wrote this gospel, is so that you and I might believe. Well, believe is a whole lot more than, yeah, I believe. It's one of those words people throw around. But believe, as John used it, is the idea to be persuaded, to place confidence and trust, not just mere mental acceptance. It is to believe and to keep on believing. And John uses it almost 100 times. I think technically it's about 97 or 98, but it's almost 100 times. And the heartbeat of the Christian life is our relationship to the Son of God. I find that as I visit with people on a daily basis, all kinds of people, spiritual, unspiritual, I find that we throw this thing around about what it means to be a Christian. And it's caught in all kinds of trappings. It's caught in all kinds of different churches. It's caught in my experience. And for some, they've been done wrong in the church. For others, they are still going to church, and there's just all this stuff. But it boils down to this. What is your relationship with the Son of God, Jesus Christ? That's what it's all about. And you may believe this, and I believe that, and I'm not saying that you can believe anything. I'm just saying sometimes a lot of stuff gets in the way. But it's still, as John writes it, probably the closest to Jesus of all of the disciples was John. And we get to read his gospel, and it's powerful. And it's here today we find ourselves again with these I am statements. Jason started the series, and he's brought us through some of them already. Today, I am the good shepherd is a wonderful, wonderful statement. Let's unpack it this morning. You see, first of all, some of you in this room have raised sheep. Most of us probably have seen sheep. Raising sheep in this part of, in this country and in Israel is not the same, they tell me. Because you see, here, you herd the sheep. There, they lead the sheep. And Jason explained to you about taking them out into the field and taking them in into a sheep fold, which was usually concrete, which had an opening, and the shepherd could lay across the opening so one of the sheep wouldn't get out without him knowing it. And there's all kinds of things that way that we could talk about the sheep fold. But Jesus is talking about, I am the good shepherd. Now the Jews would have gotten it right away, because they knew that Ezekiel chapter 34 talked about false shepherds. So they understood the word picture. All of us do better when we have an illustration. And so the term would apply to a political leader or a spiritual leader. I am. We've got to go back in our Old Testaments if we're going to understand I am the good shepherd. Exodus 3 and 4. Go back this week and read it. You know what it's about. It's the call of Moses. Moses is herding sheep out on a lonely, dark night. Now, you know, we got to remember, there weren't electric lights. We're talking the darkest of the dark. And here is this bush that's burning. And he's fascinated because it's not burning up. And so he goes over to the bush, and the voice of God, I can't even begin to imagine, the voice of God, Moses, Moses, and he can't believe, in fact, he won't look because he doesn't want to look at God because he knew what that would mean for him. And he can't figure out why it doesn't burn up, and then God says, Moses, I've seen your people and they're in trouble, and I want you to lead them out of Egyptian slavery. And if you've ever been a reluctant Christian, take heart. Moses was too. Moses gives three reasons why he can't. And you can read those reasons. That's not the purpose of the sermon. But God answers Moses by saying, and answered all of his concerns, I am the word for God. I am who I intended to be. I am who I'm supposed to be. So Jesus now, let's fast forward from the burning bush to John chapter 10, and Jesus will say to a group of Jews, I am the good shepherd. And you know why they got mad? Why, he's equating himself with God. How dare him do that? But you see, he could do that because he is the Son of God. And the good shepherd, I am the good shepherd. Here's the whole sermon. You probably say, give me that and I'll go home. But we're going to go a little farther. I am the good shepherd speaks of entrance into security. Anybody ever feel insecure? And fellowship and guide and protection needed in life. John gives us the most intimate view of the mind and heart of Jesus. Now they say today atheism is growing. I have folks that I work with who are talking about this quite a bit. I was working with the patient, and of course we have to chart after we see the patient electronically now, and there's categories you can check if the person has indicated to you anything about their spirituality. Everybody has spirituality, folks, because we're created in the image of God. It's there. Now, they may not know it, but it's there. And they may not practice it, but it's there. As I charted on this guy, he's checked. Atheist. Wow. Well, we could talk a lot about that, but I guess the short of what I will say today is I think the deep down, we might be surprised what they do believe. The famous war correspondent of World War II, Ernie Pyle, said, there are no atheists in the foxholes. So, I even heard a guy recently, and I'm old school, so I'm driving home and I turn on the radio. Or play my CDs. And I don't usually listen, but the discussion was, why are we on this earth? And it wasn't a radio preacher. Why are we on this earth? And the guy said, when you ask that question, when you begin to talk about that, there's only one place you'll end up. God. But drove off the road on the radio. Well, that's true. That's a true statement. So here you have Jesus, the Son of God. I am the Good Shepherd. So let's look at that text a little bit this morning here. John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Boy, soak up that. There's a lot of false shepherds out there, and they fit that category. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen, sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. That's a passage that I hope, and I hope you do this in your Bible reading. Don't just read and go on. Some passages, and this would be one of them, needs to be absorbed, needs to be read over and over again. There's a lot that seeps through here. And back in John 14, verses 8 and 9, just to kind of finish up that other thing about spirituality and atheism and all that kind of stuff, is Philip says to Jesus, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. And Jesus says, in short, he who has seen me has seen the Father. What am I trying to say? When people ask about belief in God, you don't have to say a whole lot about all the fancy arguments that we can make up about is there a God or isn't there a God. You take them right to Jesus as fast as you can and try to get them to read a gospel with you and take some time to sit down and answer their questions and let the Bible do its work and the life of Jesus do its work on the people. And that will change hearts way more than our arguments. But I am the good shepherd, he says. Laying down his life. And again, in contrast to the false shepherds. You see, he's the good shepherd. He died for the sheep. He's the great shepherd. He cares for the sheep. We just read, it was read for us in our worship time, Psalm 23. We're going to get back to that for just another little minute. And I am the chief shepherd who will return to the sheep someday. So this is a powerful statement with the concept of shepherd and sheep. Gives us an idea of what God is like. The great men of the Old Testament who were shepherds, Abel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, I mean some of the big names of the Old Testament were shepherds. Now when you get to the New Testament times, it's a little bit, the shepherds are kind of those stinky guys out there. Interesting, when we went to Israel, we wanted to see, I know Joyce had mentioned, hoping to see some sheep and a shepherd, you know. Well, we found out that over there today, the women and the girls take care of the sheep. And we did see them. Wow, clear out there on the hillside, taking care of those sheep. But, and then, we're coming into the Christmas season, Advent if you like, and we know who the announcement of the birth of the Savior was to, the shepherds. Wow. So they are special in God's sight. And you know what? Even in Revelation, Revelation 7:17 tells us that Christ will shepherd his people even in heaven. And I'll be fine with that, won't you? That Jesus is taking care of me then as he's taking care of me right now. And, you know, we're going to look at Peter in a minute, but let me say it ahead of time. Peter, 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares upon me, on Jesus, for he cares for me. We live in a troubled, turbulent, unstable world. There are so many things to worry about and to be concerned for. We need to latch on to every scripture we can and write it on cards and mark our Bibles and pray over it, because there's so much here to comfort us. But the chief comfort that we have is, I am the good shepherd, and he's in charge of us. Now, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4 is... This is an interesting side piece, but I think it's important because it talks about the elders here in the concept of the shepherd. So let's look at it together. To the elders among you. Incidentally, let me stop there. For a turbulent, troubled day like we live in, 1 Peter is a great book to read. It really is a great book to read because it reflects a lot of what's going on in the world today. So it's comforting to read it. He says, I appeal as a fellow elder. Now, Peter, speaking of himself, and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Now he's talking to the elders, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Just for a moment here, we need to talk to the congregation and to the elders, okay? This is for all of us. Some solid instruction here on the nature of being an elder. Now, because of our American mentality about leadership, we seem to see being an elder as those guys that sit in a room on Tuesday night and make decisions. I can make the case that isn't even scriptural. It's all right, but you can't get it out of the Bible. You need to do it, so please understand, Doug's not saying all they're doing is wrong. I'm just saying that's not the primary job of an elder or a minister, pastor, preacher, because that fits in there too, because they oversee the flock with the elders too. But conducting business, most people in the church... think that that's what those guys conduct business there. And you know what the congregation wants to do? Call you guys and complain to you. Now, I've watched this over the years, folks. I'm an old dog, and I've watched it. And it is frivolous, non-scriptural stuff that people call the elders about. I wish I could hear somebody say, you know, I called my elder and said, I asked him to pray for me. You know, James 5 says you need to call for the elders to pray over you when you're sick. Well, call for them to pray over you when you're not sick, but you're still having trouble. You see, I'm saying these guys are to be shepherds. These guys are to be with the flock, getting acquainted with the flock. There's some churches, people don't even know who the elders are. I've had people say, well, I have no idea who the elders are. So I'm just saying, I'm not beating up on anybody. I'm not slapping anybody. I'm just talking to the whole church, not just the elders, that they're there to be helping us with our walk in the Lord. And frankly, folks, that's what we're all supposed to do. Help each other in this struggle of life. Pray for each other. Encourage each other. And this other stuff that gets in our head, well, I'm going to call the elders. I don't like this. And it's frivolous. I am the good shepherd, is what Jesus said. Well, how are we going to do this? Well, just some simple things. Number one, in other words, how does God work in us to become like him? Because that's what this is all about. The I am statements is that we might understand the nature of Jesus, and then we can begin to grow in our work. First of all, of course it's the Word of God. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, correction, rebuking, and training in righteousness, that the men or women of God might be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Folks, we can say we're about the Bible, but if we don't read the Bible, if we don't study the Bible or teach the Bible or preach the Bible, we're no better than the person who really doesn't care much about the Bible. It's God's inspired word communicated to you and me that we ought to uphold and be all over as much as we can. And I'm not saying you have to be a Bible scholar. I'm just saying you have to let God's word speak to your mind and your heart regularly. Secondly, is prayer. Now, I came across a verse that you maybe probably have already seen. But let's look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9, because peace here. I was over in the wrong spot there. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. So we're just at the end. And verse 9. I just thought this should be brought up and thought about here. We are glad, Paul says, whenever we are weak, but you are strong. And our prayer is for your perfection. Yeah, no, you're not going to be perfect, so don't get all wound up about that. I've been through too many discussions about that. Of course we're not perfect, but we are moving toward perfection. And that's what he's talking about. So there's the Word of God, there's prayer, there's the local church. Yes, as fouled up as the local church can be, it is still God's instrument. And that church is supposed to help each other on their road to being more like Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And the last one I don't like, but it's in the Bible, and that's suffering. Martin Luther said, if it wasn't for tribulation, I wouldn't understand the Bible. You can chew on that this afternoon. If it wasn't for trouble, tribulation, suffering, I wouldn't understand the Bible. That's a pretty heady statement from somebody who knew a lot about Scripture. So suffering is a part of it, and I don't like to say that, but it is true that all of us have to suffer Well, why? Because our Savior suffered. That's why. If he would go to the cross for my sin and your sin, then we can certainly suffer for him and be like him. So again, I just kind of want to exhort you today as we look at I Am the Good Shepherd, and there's certainly a lot more we could say about it, but you know, there's a side note with John. I just got to mention this. John chapter 5, verse 24 talks about eternal life, and there's another one of those concepts which we, well, let's just look at John 5, 24 for just a minute here. Won't keep you much longer, but this is too good to pass up, and you probably even know this verse. Anyway, but John uses belief so many times. Well, John talks about eternal life so many times. So John chapter 5, verse 24, here's what he says. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Now, eternal life is more than the future. It's the quality of your spiritual life because you are a follower of Jesus. So you and me, we can enjoy a different quality of life because we're born again. And that's another whole piece there. John introduces the idea, John 3:5, about being born again. You and I are allowed to have fellowship with God and fellowship with one another in an amazingly different level than anybody else because we've been born again and we are enjoying eternal life right now, but I'm looking forward to a greater life in eternity. John's Gospel, it's worth reading. And I just want you to know that the shepherd idea, the I am statements, tell us about what Jesus was like. And just remember, Jesus is God in the flesh. And that's why when somebody can't believe, we need to say, would you consider Jesus? And the best thing you can do, if this is somebody that you have a relationship with, say, hey, let's read John. Now, all the Gospels are good, but have them, if you can engage them to read it and meet with you at Starbucks or wherever you like to go and say, do you have any questions? We both read the third chapter last week. That's one of the best ways you can introduce somebody to Christ because the word is going to work on their heart. You're sharing with them, and I'll tell you what, it'll make you study more. And introduce them to the Good Shepherd. And we need to be concerned about that. I wonder sometimes, do we even care that people are lost and, yes, going to hell because they don't know Jesus? You and I need to be concerned about that. Why can't we be concerned about that more than complaining to the elders about something I don't like at church? That's the important thing. Lost souls. You drive out of here today and look at the field out there. It is white unto harvest. Just last week, I was with a dying patient. The IV bags are hanging there. The dialysis machine is running, and the patient is going to be put on comfort cares. And his wife said to me, "You know, we've been reading the Bible together. We've been reading the Book of John together. And of course, he is heavily sedated now. And you know," I said, "She said, you suppose I could still read to him?" I said, "Yes." I said, "You know, we've been told you never know what patients can understand and comprehend, and music and reading, and especially scripture." She said, "I forgot my Bible." I said, "I'll go get you one." So I got her a Bible, and she read to him. And when the nurse in rounds commented on the condition of that patient, she said, "You know what she was doing? She was reading the Bible to him." And I thought to myself, who knows, but what her example of a dying patient that she's reading to, her husband, and the nurse saw that, might plant a seed that we hope would come to fruition in her life. But it was the Gospel of John. They've been reading that together. And I just want us to know the Good Shepherd is Jesus, who we need to be engaged with at the deepest level. Let's look at Psalm 23 as we close here this morning. We've done this a disservice. Psalm 23 is not just for the funeral service. It's appropriate. But, you know, Psalm 23, folks, this is the one people want to hear when they're dying. This is the one that a lot of people recognize next to the Lord's Prayer. They might know the 23rd Psalm. But I'm telling you, we need to introduce people to this, because this is what God is like. And this is who Jesus is all about. Even though it's Old Testament, it's by David, wonderful shepherd himself. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing, or I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still or quiet waters. He restores or refreshes my soul. He leads or guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, the shadow of death, we're all going to walk through it, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love or mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I am the good shepherd is a powerful statement from our Savior. And as we close today, may that thought permeate this group as the worship team comes, as Jason comes to extend the invitation. There's a lot of stuff here, folks, that can make a difference in your life. God bless.